Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Tainus Daf Dalid. We left off in Daf Gimel and Beis about 8-9 lines from the end of the page at V'yamar Rav Yehuda Zika Debasar Mitra. So we're going to first, today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to do is continue discussing those atmospheric conditions that are good for us after the rain and those that are not so good for us after the rain. Then the Gemara is going to tell us different things about Talmidei Chachamim and about their personality traits that you could find in Talmidei Chachamim. Then the Gemara is going to tell us about three different people that tried to make a deal with HaKadosh Baruch, where they were shovel shaloka ogen, where they made improper deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for some of them it worked out, for some of them it didn't work out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in a way that was very positive for some, and for others not so much. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how Klal Yisrael requests a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that's like rain, and that's like that's like the hand, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by being like dew and like the palm of the hand, meaning, which we're going to see in the Gemara, means that Klal Yisrael asks for things that are a bracha in a certain sense, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with something that is a constant and says that, no, my relationship with you is not just a bracha, it is a constant. So we're gonna get to the relationship with Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Then the Gemara is going to ask a stira, whether Rabbi Yeshua holds to stop asking for rain at Musaf on the first day of Pesach, or to wait until Pesach passes, and we're going to have four different resolutions to that stira. And then the Gemara is going to raise a stira, whether Rabbi Yochanan holds to start Mashav HaRuach on Shmini Atzeres or on Zayin Cheshvan, and we're going to have three approaches to that stira. So essentially, Amar Aleph is mostly a gadita about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, how Talmidei Chachamim are supposed to, are expected to behave, and Amar Beis is back to the rain in Yanim, is about asking for rain and things of that nature. So let's begin again, about 8 lines, 9 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Gimel Amar Beis. V'amar Rav Yehuda Zika Debasar Mitra Kemitra. When a wind blows after the rain, that's as beneficial for us as the rain itself. It's very good for the produce. Even the Basar Mitra Kemitra, when there's clouds after rain, that's as good as the rain itself. It's as important and beneficial as the rain itself. Shimsha the Basar Mitra Ketrei Mitri. If there's sunlight after the rain, that's as good as, it's twice as good as rain. That's as good as two rains. So it sounds like whatever weather there is after the rain is going to be good, right? If it's windy, if it's cloudy, if it's sunny, it's all okay if it after it rains. So what wouldn't be good after it rains? What would be a bad sign after it rains? Says Gemara, Lemute Gili Delayli, that Veshimsha Debeni Karchi. If you have flashes of light at night, and you have sun that peeks through the clouds, that it lights up, it provides light in one place, and somewhere else there's the clouds that cover up the sun. So they're just like these small windows where the sun shines through. For some reason, that's not good. That's not a good atmospheric condition to have after the rain. That's not going to help after the rain. Amar Rava, Mali Talga Leturi Kachamisha Mitri La'ara. That snow on the top of mountains is as good as five rains on the ground. Meaning, as the snow melts, it saturates the ground, and it's going to provide as much nourishment to the ground as snow slowly melts, as five rains that come directly on the ground. How do I know it's as good as five rains? Where do we pick the number five from? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ki lasheleg yomar have eretz v'gesha mata v'gesha mitros uzo. The pasuk compares snow to five times rain, because it says five lashonos that imply rain. It says geshem, it says matar, it says geshem again, and then it says mitros, which is plural of matar, so that's five in total. So that's why, that's how we see that a single snowfall on the mountaintops, and that snow melting ultimately, is as good for the ground as five rains. V'amar Rava, another thing that Rava tells us about weather conditions. Talga Laturi Matrarazi Li Ilani. Talga, snow is very good for the mountains. Matrarazi Li Ilani, rain that comes down very strong is good for the trees. Matranicha Lepiri, rain that comes down softly is very good for the peros. Peros normally means grain, as it does over here. It's good for the grain. It's good to help grain grow. Or Pila, when when you have when you have drizzle, afilu partzida tusekala, even for the seeds that are underneath the clods of earth, mahanyale, are helped by the drizzle. My orpila, why is it that drizzle is called orpila? Where does the word orpila? What's the etymology of the word orpila that would imply some very, very light kind of rain? Urupili. Urupila means wake up, you cracks in the ground, because the rain is that's very thin, that's very small, goes into the cracks in the ground, and it causes the tavua that's hidden in the cracks in the ground to begin to sprout. That's how Rabbeinu Gershom explains. Rashi says that it closes up the cracks in the ground, and then Rashi says that it causes the garinim that are sitting in the cracks in the ground to sprout. Rabbeinu Chananel says it's lashon of areres habekayim, that the drop goes down bekoach, and that cracks the ground itself. So these are small drops that go into the ground that find the cracks of the ground, that somehow that's extremely beneficial to the ground, and that's going to access certain types of growth that normal rain wouldn't access. And that's why it's very good for afilu partzida d'tusekala, for even the garinim that are underneath the earth that normally would be inaccessible. This goes through this type of rain, goes through the cracks and finds those pieces. V'yamar Rava, haitzob mirabban. Now the Gemara Rava is going to teach us a couple of things, and some of the other Amoraim are also going to add things about Tamidei Chachamim. So Hai Tzur Merabanan, definition of a Tzur Merabanan is a young, sharp Talmud Chacham. That's what the phrase Tzur Merabanan means. So the Gemara is going to tell us a number of things about a Tzur Merabanan. So Hai Tzur Merabanan, Dami Lepartzida Tutusekala. He's like the seed that's under the clod of earth, the kevin to navat navat. Once it begins to sprout, it's going to continue to grow and to sprout. That when you see a young Talmud Chacham that's on the rise, don't assume, oh, he's going to flame out, and you know, like he's someone who's growing right now, but eventually he's just going to flame out, he's going to be nobody. No, Talmud Chacham, when he's young, that you see that is on the rise, he's very likely to continue to rise and to continue to grow and to continue to become great. Because we know the halacha, the assumption is that Talmidei Chacham calls man shemaskinim, that when Talmidei Chacham get older, they get even better, they get even stronger. It's unlike other areas, it's unlike other professions and other areas of success. When it comes to Torah, the more a person gets older, the Chazal tell us, the more a person ages when it comes to Torah, the stronger his Torah becomes. In the Tshuvas Meram Rutenberg, he says that Tzur Merabanan is Loshon of Roshem, that like Tara Tagmonkla says, Saravas on Vayikra Yud Gimel is a Roshem. So it could be that he needs to be outstanding that he knows how to respond to Halacha immediately when someone asks him a question, and the Tarasu Umnaso, and that he makes an impact on people. So it's not so passionate for a person to become a Tzur Merabanan. So there are halachos about a Tzur Merabanan, about what a Tzur Merabanan is allowed to do, how to treat a Tzur Merabanan. So it's a big question whether we even have a concept of a Tzur Merabanan bizman hazeh. Do we still have such a thing? So does anyone rise to that level of being a Tzur Merabanan? Tzur Merabanan typically means someone who's under the age of 35, so or under the age of 40, I don't remember, but it's a younger Talmud Chacham. So Vamar Rav, the Hai Tzur Merabanan to Ratach, and Rav also says, if you see a Tzur Merabanan who gets angry, it's the Torah that fires him up, that sometimes the Tzur Merabanan is very passionate, and it's hard for him to control his passion, and that's the Torah within him. The Torah is bubbling up within him, so don't judge him negatively for it. That's the natural impact that the Torah has in him. Shenemar, halo kod varai ke'esh nu Hashem, that the divrei Torah are like an esh that heats up the entire body, and that's why he gets angry. So Rav is trying to tell us how to be done the kavus chus a little bit. Sometimes Talmud Chacham, you see that he gets very passionate, and he gets very animated about something, and you're thinking to yourself, himself, just calm down. What's the big? But that's the impact that Torah could have on a person. V'yomer Ravashi, kol talmud chacham sheino kasha kebarzel. Any talmud chacham that is not like barzel, that is not like iron, that doesn't know how to, that doesn't get angry and isn't makbid about certain things and isn't matil ema on people in the proper situations where that's required. That's what the Gevura Sari says. It can't be talking about someone who's getting angry all the time. That's certainly not an appropriate midah for a talmud chacham to have. It means in the times when it's necessary to express great passion and anger in order to wake people up a little bit. So that's appropriate. In the Netziv, Rami Sada says that Rav Ashi is a hemsheikh of what Rava said. That kol talmud chacham, that the Torah is not martiach him. It doesn't cause him to be boiled up once in a while. Is not a talmud chacham. So that's he's saying a similar idea that he's got to be kashik barzel. Anyone who's not kashik barzel ain't a talmud chacham. It's not a talmud chacham. Shnemer kapatish yifotei tzela. The pasuk says kapatish yifotei tzela. So we're saying like a hammer on a rock that is very very strong and hard thing. So tamid chamim need to be kapdonim and they need to be matilema on people in order that the people should follow the derech haTorah. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that Ravina is not really arguing on Rav Ashi. We'll get to that in a second. Actually, I'm sorry. The Mefarshim raised the question that the Gemara says later on Daf Chaf and Beis that lo'olam yehadam rach kikona va'al yehi kosha ke'erez, that a person is supposed to be soft like a reed. He's not supposed to be hard like a cedar tree. Meaning, when you have something that's inflexible, you have something that's hard. So it could be very, very powerful, like a cedar tree is very powerful. But a hurricane wind comes and it will snap it. Meaning, if something is, it's not going to last. Eventually, you will find something more powerful than it, and it's going to break. When someone is rach kikana, when someone is soft like a reed, the strongest winds in the world will come, and it will just bend over, and then it will go right back up as soon as the winds are gone. That a person is supposed to be rach kikana and not kashik keres. And over here, we're saying that if a talmud chacham is not kashik barzel, he's not a talmud chacham. So that's what the achronim explained. That you have to say that we don't mean that he's always supposed to be that way. You're not supposed to think of the talmud chacham as someone who's always so staunchly, always fighting and always so strong about things. That generally a person is supposed to be rach kikana. It could also be that what the Gemara is describing is what's natural to the talmud chacham in his avoda in life. I mean, it's giving the marching orders to the talmud chacham. This is what you're going to feel, and this is what you need to work on. Meaning, you then have to be rach kikana because the Torah is meratachle, because the Torah is ke'esh, and that's a natural, you still got to learn Torah, and that's the ideal thing that you're supposed to be doing with your life, but you have to be on guard of what kind of impact that could have on you, and you have to fight that at certain times. So you have to know how to become rach kikana. Amalei Rabbi Abba l'Ravashi, atun mehasam asnisula, you learn that a talmud chacham has to be kasha kabarzel from the pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah of kapata shifotei tzela, anan meyacham asnisula, I learned it from pasuk in Chumash, in Sefer Devarim, Duchsiv, Eretz Asher, Avaneha Barzel. It doesn't say Eretz Asher Avaneha Ki Barzel, which would imply that the land itself is as hard as Barzel. It says Avaneha Barzel, that the Avanim are Barzel. But that's not true. Avanim aren't made out of Barzel. Rocks aren't made out of iron. So Al Tikri Avaneha El Boneha. So you shouldn't read it as Avaneha, rather you should read it as Boneha. The Talmidei Chacham are the Bonim, they're the ones that build the world. And the Pasuk is telling me that the Maila of Eretz Yisrael is that the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael are Barzel, that they're very, very strong-willed people. Amar Ravina, afilu achim yibayli lina shlemelech nafshe b'nichusa. So Ravina adds, and even so, a person has to teach himself to not act with anger and to be calm and to handle things with a certain sense of serenity. A person has to get into that habit. Shenemar vaser kas milibach, that you have to remove kas from your hearts. This is what I was saying before, that Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that Ravina is not arguing on Rav Ashi. He's telling us that kas is not good, and when you don't need to get angry, you're not supposed to get angry. That it's supposed to be reserved. That boiling that the Torah is supposed to do is supposed to be reserved for particular moments, and it's not supposed to be used indiscriminately. And just you're not supposed to bulldoze over everybody that comes into your life with that retichus. That a person is supposed to of the Melech Nafshe B'Nichusa teach himself a sense of calm and a sense of serenity. The Marshan Chidush HaGadol says, no, Ravina's disagreeing with Ravashi and says that even though the Torah is like Eish, that when it comes into the Guf of the Talmud Chacham, by nature will bring him with Dekas, but the Talmud Chacham has to go as far away from that as possible. So it's a question whether he's agreeing and he's saying, look, it's true that you're going to find this passion, and that's a good passion and it should express itself in certain places, but b'derklal, you're not supposed to be that way. Or Ravina saying, totally disagree. It should never express itself. You should totally squash that. That you should realize that you're likely going to feel that way, but you have to do anything, everything in your power to not feel that way. So that seems to be a machlokas in the Achronim, how Ravina plays off of Ravashi, whether it's a total rejection of Ravashi or a modification of what Ravashi had noted about how the impact that Torah has on a person. So now the Gemara is going to go on to what seems like a totally unrelated topic. It's going to tell us about different people that made deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for some of them it worked out, and for others it didn't work out. So Rashi explains that the reason we're quoting all of this is because the end of the Gemara is going to tell us that Knesset Yisrael asks for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be like a relationship of rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you're asking me to be like rain. Rain is sometimes there, sometimes not there. I'm not going to go waltz in and out of your life. I'm not going to be, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, sometimes in your life, sometimes not in your life. I'm going to be like dew. I'm going to be a constant. I'm going to be there every single day. So since one of the points we're going to make in this discussion about what the deals we make with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the requests we make of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be about rain and dew, that's why it appears here at the beginning of Maseches Tainus, even though all of the other deals have absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Tainus. That's the Derech of Talmud Bavli. That's how it works sometimes. There were three people that made deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where their bakasha, what they were asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was really an inappropriate request. But l'shnayim yishivu kogen, for two of them it worked out in the end of the day, and l'achar yishivu shalo kogen, and for one of them it didn't work out at the end of the day. Meaning what you see from this Gemara is that the results don't always prove the means that you took to achieve those results were proper. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashkach will have it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that even though you did everything wrong, things are going to work out for you. But it doesn't mean that what you did was right, just because it worked out in the end. It doesn't necessarily mean they were shalo kohogan. The Gemara doesn't say that it became kohogan just because it worked out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind to two out of the three and made it come out kohogan. But the third one, it was shalo kohogan. And here are the three people that were shalo kohogan. Eliezer ben Avram, v'shol ben Kish, v'yiftach ha-giladi. Tosos raises the question, there are more that were shalo kohogan. Tosos raises the question, why doesn't Rosh Moshe ben Nachmani mention Kalev ben Yifuna? He was also shalo kohogan. The pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua, asher yakes kiryas sefer v'lachto v'nasati lo asach sabiti li'isha, that whoever knocks out kiryas sefer, whoever defeats, whoever conquers this town, I'm going to give Achsabiti as a wife. So he's choosing a son-in-law based on what? Based on the warrior that's going to be victorious in a particular town. Not every midah that goes into making a good warrior who's able to conquer a town is husband material. So he's willing to give Achsa, his daughter, to whoever wins that battle. So it sounds like even if it's a mamzer, even if it's an eved, it could be someone who's yichus is terrible. So the medrash has a girsa that arba'a shalu shaloka hogan. The medrash actually has a girsa that four people asked shaloka hogan, and that it wasn't just three. But Tosos raises that question. So Tosos answers Yeshlomar Da'ad Kamar Kalev Sheyitin Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kol Mishiyach Lachzor Olsan Halachos Shachu Meyev Lo Shalosha Etin Lo Achsabiti. What he meant to say is that whoever could bring back the halachos that were forgotten in the days of Avelu Shemosha Kiryas Sefer, bring back the Torah knowledge. It wasn't about conquering a city. If anyone could bring back that Torah knowledge, that's who he was going to give his daughter to. Yesh Mefarshim Delakach Nichrei. Then Tulsa says, you know what? Achsa was such a tzadekas that there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to make it work out for her. He relied on the fact that she was such a tzadekas plus his own zuchus, and the two of them together, there's no way that it wasn't going to work out. That normally a person's not allowed to rely on their own zuchus, but here he's relying on the zuchus of somebody else in combination with his own zuchus, on the zuchus of Achsa. Why was she she called Achsa, because anyone who would see her would get angry at his wife, because she set such a standard of tzniyus that everyone looked like a prutza in comparison to her. She was such a tzniyus, she was such a tzadekes. So when you're relying on that, you're relying on the zuchus. You know, there's a concept of people being melumad benisim, that there's halacha that ain't some kanal anes. A person is not allowed to rely on a miracle, but there are some people that are melumad benisim, that nisim happen to them all the time. That's just the teva for them, that nisim happen to them all the time. So and such people don't have such an iser of ain some kanal anes. That's what Rav Meisha discusses in his tshuva about life insurance, right? When someone asks him, is it a violation of not having proper bitachon when you buy life insurance? So Rav Meisha gives it to the person over the head and says that that's ridiculous. But he brings up from this past week's parsha that the Gemara discusses Leah, that Leah davened that the baby, that her seventh child should turn into a girl, should be a girl, because she knew that if she would have seven boys, then it means that Rachel's not even going to be ka'achas ha-shvachos. She's not even going to have as many children as one of the shvachos. And that would be a terrible bizayon to Rachel. Of course, Baruch Hu changed the baby and turned the baby into Dina, and that's how Leah had a girl. So the Gemara Maseches Brachos asked the question, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to daven that for a gender change. Once a woman is pregnant, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Brachos Nun Dalit says, once a woman is pregnant, it's called Tefillah Shav to daven that it should change. The gender has already been determined. You're not allowed to daven for something like that. So the Gemara gives a couple of answers, and one of the answers the Gemara gives is that Leah is different, that she's a holy tzadekas, and she's in the, you know, Emas Kirin Maisen Nisim is the Lashon of the Gemara, but the Rishonim explain it means that Leah was just on a different madrega. She's allowed to daven for miracles to happen because she's Leah, so she's allowed to do that. And then the Gemara gives another answer that no, it was talking at a stage of the pregnancy where the gender hadn't been determined yet, even though normally gender is determined at conception, but this was a unique kind of pregnancy where gender was only going to be determined 40 days later, and within that window of time she was able to daven. So Ramesha says, what's that second answer telling you? That second answer is telling you that I disagree with the first answer, that even Leah wasn't enough of a tzadekas to daven for such a miracle. That there are, but that, and that's the machlokas between the two deus and the Gemara, that Leah was certainly above a madrega of normal people, and someone on a certain madrega could daven for things that other people aren't allowed to daven for, and could rely on miracles that other people can't rely on. Question is, how big of a miracle? For everything, even to change the gender in utero of a baby? So that's the machlokas, whether even Leah was on a madrega. But you do see that there is that concept that someone who's on a much, much higher level is allowed to rely on certain things. So you're not supposed to assume that you're on that level. But over here, says Tosfos, Kalev was able to assume that his daughter was on that level in combination with his own zuchus, and the combination of the zuchuyos of the two tzaddikim, it's like a tefillah of tzaddik ben tzaddik versus tzaddik ben rasha. That you're relying on the zuchuyos of multiple tzaddikim when you rely on the zuchuyos of multiple tzaddikim, so that's going to have a positive impact. So anyway, so the let's go through the different people who were shoel shelo kohogan. So says the Gemara, Eliezer Eved Avram, what was the deal that Eliezer Eved Avram made that was improper? Dechsiv, because it says when Avram went to send a wife, when Avram sent Eliezer to send to find a wife for Yitzchak, Eliezer made a deal, and he said, you know, I'm going to stand by the Ein Hamayim, and the Benos Anshayir are going to come to draw water. V'haya anara sharomer ela hatino kadeich v'chulei, that a girl that's going to offer me to drink, and then is going to, that I'm going to ask her to drink, and she's going to offer to give my camels to drink also. That's going to be the one for Yitzchak. So it sounds like the first girl that's going to come out of the city and make such a he makes such a request of, that's going to respond with an even greater offer, that's going to be the right wife for Yitzchak. So that's nichush. You're not allowed to just make a deal like that. You have to actually do your homework. You have to actually see if she's appropriate for Yitzchak. He didn't say anything else about the girl. So yachal afilu chigeres afilu suma. Sounds like the girl could be anything. She could be she could be physically disabled and be inappropriate for Yitzchak. And Eliezer's not even going to care. He's not going to look if she's a balas mum, because so not every mum is something that's so evident, and he's going to marry her off to Yitzchak. Heshiva Kogan and his damna la Rivka. But still, it's Heshiva Kogan. It turned out that he got Rivka in the end. Tosfos raises the question: why doesn't Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani say that Eliezer was shalok kohogan? Because the girl, forget about a physical mum, say that the girl might be mamzeres, the girl might be a shivcha. That's what we're going to say when it comes to Shaul. So Tosfos says in the name of Rashi, even though we don't have the Rashi, then in the days of Avram Avinu, there wasn't a Psul Mamzeres because the Torah wasn't given yet. And Legabe Isha, the people are only looking, people look much more for Yofi than they do when it comes to a man. The Sfas Emes raises the question, why did the Gemara say that Eliezer was Shol Shalok Hogan, he was Samech on the Zechus of Yitzchak? Meaning the same way Tosas had said that Kalev was Samech on the Zechus of Achsabito and his own Zechus, because Achsa is going to be the one that ends up with the man, so why not say Eliezer also? Samech on the Zechus of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is going to be the one that ends up marrying this woman, so obviously it's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mizdavig, a Zivug Yafa for Yitzchak. So he says the reason Ein Mizavgan Allah Adam Elfi Maisav is because it says Kilo Yanuch Shevet HaRasha Al Goral HaTzadikim, that the reason we assume that a person's Zivug is going to match their own Madrega is because the Pasuk says Lo Yanuch Shevet HaRasha Al Goral HaTzadikim, and Rashi explains that the Memshelis Rasha is not going to come in a Goral of a Tzadik. So that's Shaykh Dafka by an Ever Mamzer who called the Rasha, but not to have a Sumo or a Chigeres, that has nothing to do with Zuchus and Chova. People could be great Tzadikim if they're a Sumo or a Chigeres. So therefore Eliezer was Shol Shalok Ogan, because it was the kind of thing that could have ended up happening. The Zuchus of Yitzchak wasn't going to prevent a Sumo or a Chigeres. It was only going to prevent an Eved or a Mamzer, and that's why the Gemara didn't say that maybe it was going to turn out to be an Eved or a Mamzer. He knew it wasn't going to be, but it might have turned out to be a Sumo or a Chigeres, and that's going to be the problem. Shaul ben Kish, what was the deal that Shaul made that was inappropriate? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says when Goliath went out and said humiliating things about the God of Israel, and Shaul looked for someone who's gonna fight with Goliath, Shaul made a deal that the man who defeats Goliath, I'm going to make him a rich man and I'm going to give him my daughter. And he didn't say that that man also has to be a miyuchas and that that man has to be a proper person who's going to be matim for my daughter. He just said, I'm going to give him my daughter. So Yachal, you might think that the person that kills Goliath, afilu eved, afilu mamzer, even if it's an eved, even if it's a mamzer, he's still going to give his daughter away to such a person. But so it's not a proper deal to make, but Yeshiva Kogan is Zaman Lo David. But it worked out for the best for him, and that's why he ended up with David HaMelech as a son-in-law. Yiftach HaGaladi, where do we see Yiftach at such a deal? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says when the Bnei Amon went to fight a Melchama with Klal Yisrael, the Ziknei Gilad called Yiftach HaGaladi, who was a Gibor Chayil, to be the leader of their battalion, of their army that fights against the Bnei Amon. And when Yiftach went to fight with the Bnei Amon, he took a neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, V'haya Hayotze Yishriyotze Midal, say basically, the first thing that comes out of my house to greet me when I come back, b'shalom, from the battle with the Bnei Amon, so I'm going to bring it as an olah to Hashem. So he didn't say that only if it's an animal that's kosher and that's not a balmum. He didn't give any details. He just said the first thing that comes out of my house. So yachal afilu davar tameh, sounds like it could be a pig or a dog that walks out of his house, and he's going to be just as happy to bring it on the mizbech. So that is very much shalom kahogen. So yeshiva Shalok Hogan, and it worked out even worse than the worst case scenario that he could have imagined. Nizdam Nalobito, first thing that walked out of his house was his daughter. To come to the Navi Yisrael, Hatzari Ein Bekila Demrofe Imrofe Ein Sam. Why is there no Tzari in Gilad? There's no therapeutic things. That why does Yiftach not why didn't he go to Pinchas, who was the Chacham of that generation, to be Matir his Neder? He was so arrogant that he said, I'm not going to go to Pinchas because I'm a Shofet and a leader. He should come to me. And Pinchas said, but let him come to me because I'm a Navi. And, why should I go to him? So, meaning he gave up on the opportunity to be Matir the Neder, which is what he should have done. And Hashem didn't want Yiftach to be Mekayim that Neder. He wanted him to be Matir the Neder by Pinchas because it was inappropriate. HaKadosh Baruch made it that it worked out that what walked out of his house was his daughter. It always bothered me. I never understood why it is that he didn't think of that possibility. Meaning, who do you think is going to come greet you when you come home? That the natural assumption is that it's going to be your dog, it's going to be your pig. You're not going to think that it's going to be your family that's going to greet you when you come home. I don't know. You would think that would be the most natural thing to assume that they. In fact, even when the Gemara expresses it, Marsha raises the question: why is it that Shol Shalok Hogan because of Chashash that maybe a dover Tameh is going to be Yotzei Mitoch Beis. Why didn't the Gemara say the Chashash that maybe a human being is going to walk out of his house? The Gemara didn't even raise that as a possibility. Anyway, the Gemara brings a raya that the Rat Ratzon Hashem was that Yiftach should not fulfill this neder. Uksiv, because the pasuk says, "Shelo tzivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo osa libi." When Bnei Yisrael built bamos to burn their children in fire for Avodah Zarah, Hashem gave them Musar through Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he said that even that which I haven't been mitzuvah, that which I didn't command to be makriv, people are bringing, someone's makriv their child, that's not bitzivay Hashem. So the Gemara darshins the triple expression, lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, and lo olsa libi, that there are three people that brought their children as a korban olah, and it wasn't a that when Moab was fighting with Klal Yisrael, so he saw that the Bnei Yisrael were going to be victorious. So he asks Zavadim, what's going on with these people? By all natural strategy and assessments of war, we should for sure defeat them. So he said, oh no, you have to understand the kind of zechus that they have. That they come from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had a ben Yachid. And when Kodesh Baruch Hu said to bring him as a korban, he was willing to bring him as a korban. So this fellow, Mesha Melech Moav, said, oh, okay, I also have a Ben Bukhar, so I'm going to go and be Makrav in the Shemayim also, and I'm going to do the same thing. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, I didn't ask that from you. It's not like we believe in the child sacrifice. That was the whole thing, that we don't believe in that, and nevertheless, Avraham Avinu was willing to do the Akedah when Hashem asked for it. What's that expression? Say Yiftach. That's Yiftach. Hashem Baruch Hu never wanted him to bring his daughter as an Ola. V'lo olsa libi. Say Yitzchak ben Avram. That's a reference to Yitzchak ben Avram. That even though Hashem Baruch Hu told Avram to bring his child up on the mizbeach as an Ola, he never had it was never in the plans that he was actually going to shecht him. The plan was to test him, but not to actually shecht Yitzchak. It's not only these three people that made inappropriate deals. Klal Yisrael asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something inappropriately. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Kogan, and Hashem responded with something that was very nice and very appropriate. Shenemar, because the pasuk says that Klal Yisrael's v'neida nirdufal odasas Hashem kishachar nachon motov v'yavu kageshem lanu. That Klal Yisrael asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the morning that they see at the beginning of the light of the morning, that the world should light up and we should Hashem should be mashpia, goodness on Knesset Yisrael like rain. So Amalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says Knesset Yisrael biti, Achol is davar shapam mispak shapam einam mispak. You're looking for something that sometimes people are interested in, sometimes they're not interested in, like rain. Aval ani ayel chadavar mispak shdiolam. I'm going to be to you like something that's always desirable. Shnemar eya katali Yisrael. I'm going to be like dew for the Jewish people, which is a constant. Va'ochal shlokol. Again, another thing Knesset Yisrael asked inappropriately. I'm going to find Ribbono Shlolam. Simani kachosam alibecha kachosam al zracha. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should remember Am Yisrael like a signet that's always on the arm and is connected to the heart. I'm like a tefillin. I'm like Kodesh Baruch Hu biti. You're asking about something that sometimes is exposed when a person is undressed, so then the upper arms are exposed, but sometimes it's not exposed when a person is dressed and their sleeves are down. You don't see the upper arm, and you're asking that you want to be on my upper arm. That I'll be the palm of your hand, and even when you're fully dressed, the palm is always evident. So now back to Ein Cholin L'Gshamim. So we said you're only supposed to ask for rain when it's Samach L'Gshamim. So Savrua Shelev Askar Chad Milsihi. We work with the assumption that asking for rain and mentioning rain have the same din. And just like Ein Cholin L'Gshamim, you don't say V'Sein Talamater except for when it's the rainy season. So too, you shouldn't say Mashav Rokhmar to Geshem except when it's the rainy season. So Mantana, who's the Tana that holds that you begin Askar L'Gshamim Samach L'Gshamim, they only start Mashav Ruach Mer L'Geshem when it becomes the rainy season. Amarav Rabbi Yeshua, that's Rabbi Yeshua. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua said in the Brisa back on Daf Beis, Mishas HaNechasa, that we mentioned Gevuras G'shamim when we put down the lulav, which is on the eighth day on Shmini Atzeres, which is Samach L'Gshamim, because that's when the rain is supposed to start. Amar Le'Abaya, Filu Tamer Rabbi Eliezer. No, even if you assume like Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua and holds that we're Maskir G'shamim already from the first day of Sukkot, nevertheless, we could explain the Seifa of the Mishnah that Ein Sholin Es L'Gshamim L'Samach L'Gshamim, because She'el L'Chud V'Askar L'Chud. There's a difference between mentioning rain and asking for rain. We mention rain on the first day of Sukkot. We don't ask for it until much later. V'Yikada Amri. And others say that the Mishnah that says that Ein Sholin Es L'Gshamim L'Samach L'Gshamim Lema Rabbi Yeshua Hi Da Amar Mishas HaNechasa, that it's going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it's when you put the lulav away, and that's the closest time to rain. Because Haskara and She'ela are the same. Amarava filutem Rabbi Eliezer. No, it could even be going like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we begin the Gevuras Keshamim on the first day of Sukkot. She'ela luchud vaskara luchud. And She'ela and Haskara are the same. Rabbi Yehuda Omer over Lefnei Ateva. Then we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda says that someone who davens for an Amun on the last day of Chag, so the Baal Musaf says Mashav Baruch Mar Geshem, but not the Baal Shachris. Whereas on the first day of Pesach, the Baal Shachris says Mashav Baruch Mar Geshem, but not the Baal Musaf. So Raminu, Sassamar, I'll ask you a stira, and Masai Shal in the Sagashamim. Until when do we continue to ask for rain to save the Saint Talamatar? Rabbi Yudomer, Ad Shiyavara Pesach, till after Pesach is over, after the seventh day of Pesach. So throughout Chalamoid, we're still saying the Saint Talamatar. Ramei Romer, Ad Shiyavara Nisan, until the Chodesh Nisan is over. So Rabbi Yehuda is a stira, because he said previously, until the first day of Pesach, and now we're saying Ad Shiyavara Pesach. So, if we're being saying v'sein talamater mistam, we're still saying mashav baruch mar geshem. So if he says you say v'sein talamater through chalamoed, l'chari you should still say mashav baruch mar geshem through chalamoed. So how come he says in the Mishnah that you stop mashav baruch mar geshem on the first day of Pesach and Mosuf? So I'm Rav Chista lo kasha kan lishal kan nahaskir. When Rabbi Yehuda says until Pesach is over, that's talking about she'elas keshavim. When he says you stop on the first day of Pesach, that's talking about hazkaras keshavim mashav baruch mar geshem. Mishal shal vasli, continue to ask for rain until after Pesach. Lahaskir b'yom tov rishon pasach, but to mention rain and say mashav baruch mar geshem, that stops in Yom Tov Rishon. Amar Ula, so Ula says that doesn't make any sense. Hadar Rav Chista kasha kachometz l'shinayim kasha neinayim. Rav Chista's comment is painful. It's like vinegar on the teeth and like smoke in the eyes. Umah b'makom she'enu shoel maskir. There are certain times of the year where we're not yet asking for rain and we're already being maskir geshamim. Like right now, we're already saying mashav baruch mar geshem, but we're not yet saying talamater. B'makom she'shoel eino din she'ei maskir. So when you're already holding by saying v'sein talamater, so of course you should still be saying Mashav Ruach Amar LaGeshem. So if Chissa's answer doesn't make sense, Ella Amar Ula, so Ula says, I have a different answer. Trei Tanai, Elibit Rabbi Yehuda. You have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda? Yeah, it's two Tanayim that have different versions of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Amar, third answer. May Ad Shiyavar HaPesach, Ad Shiyavar Shtech Sibur Rishon Yorub Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. Ad Shiyavar HaPesach doesn't mean till Pesach is over, it means till the first Shachris of the first day of Pesach is over. So that's exactly when you make the switch. Amalei Abayish, what do you mean the first Shachris, the first day of Pesach? There's no V'sein Talumatar on the first day of Yom Tov. There's no Bakashos and Shemon Esrei on Yom Tov. Samlei in Shol Maturgaman. Yeah, there is, because the Tzibur would have a Maturgaman that would say the Bakashos of the Klal together with the Chazan. So he would actually have a She'el as say V'sein Talumatar. V'chi Maturgaman Shol Davar She'en Tzarech LeTzibur. But he doesn't just get to say things that the Tzibur doesn't need. So why would he say V'sein Talumatar? So no, we have to go with Ula's original answer that it's a machlokas tanoim what Rabbi Yehuda says. Then the Gemara says, but maybe there's a fourth answer. Rabba Amar Mai Ad Shiyavar Pesach Ad Shiyavar Zman Shchitas HaPesach. Ad Shiyavar Pesach means until Erev Pesach. Ukitchilaso Kein Sofo. Just like the beginning of the winter season, so to the end of the winter season. Matchilaso Maskei Av Bishei Neshoel. Just like we begin saying Mashav Ruach before we start saying V'sein Talumatar, Avsofo Maskir Av B'Sheinu Shoel. So do we continue until Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, even though we stopped V'sein Talumatar at Mincha and Erev Pesach, we continue Mashav Ruach Mar Geshem through Shachris on the first day of Pesach. Amalei Abayi said to Rabba Bishlam Atchilaso, I get at the beginning of the winter season, Maskir Askar Nami Ritzu Shelihi, that we're going to talk about Hashem's Gevuras Keshamim before we're asking for it, because you always give Shevach before you ask for something. Ela Sofo, but at the end of the winter season, my Ritzu Shelihika, what's the Ritzu She'elav? We're not leading up to any request. We're stopping the request early, and then we're continuing being Maskir. That's not a Ritzu She'elah. Ela Michavart of Kedu Ula, we have to say, like Ula's original answer, that Ula had said that it's Trei Tanai Elibit Rabbi Yehuda. So we had four answers, but there's a clearly preferred answer of Trei Tanai Elibit Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. We held like Rabbi Yehuda that you begin Geshamim on Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, and we paskin that the Sof's man of Haskaras Geshamim is Musaf of the first day of Pesach. Do you really hold that way? Vatana, doesn't the Mishnah say later on, B'shloshim Marcheshvan Shalom Nesu Geshamim, on the third day of Marcheshvan, where you start saying the same Talmud Matar, Rabbi Gamliel, and B'shiv Barim, we also say on the seventh day, V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Lazar says, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, so the Gemara assumes that She'ilan Askara are the same. So whenever you're shol, you're maskir. So these two piskei halacha don't work together with each other to be maskir on Shmini Atzeres or Zayin Cheshvan. Those are very far apart from each other on the calendar. So I'm like, Gavra Agavra Karam is, you're asking from one person on another. Rabbi Yochanan holds that we pass on Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Lazar holds we pass on Rabbi Gamliel. It's a machlokas. Iba yisei malokasha, kan lishol kan lahaskir. Or it's not a kasha at all, because there's a difference between being shol al gshamim and being maskir gshamim. Those are two different things. Vam Rabbi Yochanan makam shishol maskir. But didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that whenever you're shoel, you're automatically also maskir? So it sounds like makom that you're not shoel, you're not maskir. So how could it be maskir versus kshamim on Shmini Atzeres? We're not shoel on Yom Tov because you don't say Baruch Aleinu. Ha'ulav saki itman. When Rabbi Yochanan says makom shoel maskir, whenever you're not shoel, you're not maskir. That's as far as when you stop making the request. But as far as the beginning, we begin to say it on Shmini Atzeres, even though we're not being shoel until after Shmini Atzeres. V'am Rabbi Yochanan asking more, but doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say hischel haskir maskilishol pasuk milishol posuk milahaskir? So you see, Rabbi Yochanan holds that she'ila and askara begin at the same time as well. So you see that you don't begin to be maskir on Shmini Atzeres because there's no she'ilas geshamim on Shmini Atzeres. Elo kasha halan v'haluhu. You have to say that there's a difference between what Rabbi Yochanan says that you begin to be maskir, you begin to be shovel. That's for bnei bavel that have peros and tavua in the field throughout Chodesh Tishrei. So they begin only on Zayin Cheshvan, whereas the Bnei Eretz Yisrael have different, their coats of the Tavua already in Nisan, and they gather it together in Tishrei, so you don't have to worry about being Mazkir already from Tishrei. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue that discussion of the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz tomorrow with Maishna L'Didan. Everyone have a great day.